In 12 minutes, 52 seconds, the Saturn rocket bearing Apollo 13 is due to lift off from the pad directly in front of me. I'm Bob Walker with Merrill Muller at Launch Complex 39, Cape Kennedy. Everything is go for Apollo 13. The skies are hazy. Astronauts Jim Lovell, Jack Swigert, and Fred Hayes are already inside Apollo 13. Across the anchor desk from me, Merrill Muller.
Apollo 13 is aimed for a tiny island in the Sea of Rains, the moon's largest. The island outcroppings are called Fra Merle Highlands, but they may be just gigantic rocks thrown out when a huge meteor struck the moon forming ages ago. Astronauts Lovell and Hayes will seek these keys to the formation of the solar system, which includes Mother Earth. They plan two extended moonwalks from the Aquarius moon lander next week. Astronaut Swigert will watch over them, map future landing sites, and make scientific studies of his own from Odyssey in moon orbit. Almost totally dedicated to science, Apollo 13 will nevertheless start breaking technological records from the moment of ignition here at Cape Kennedy. It'll be the heaviest rocket yet, almost 3,300 tons. It'll put the heaviest manned spaceship into Earth orbit, over 50 tons. And three spaceships, not two, will be guided to the moon. The final rocket stage crashes the moon as a science test. Lovell and Hayes will build another scientific base called Alcep 2, and it will join its sister base from Apollo 12 in reporting events on the moon. Scientists here on Earth already have 1 million bits of information to analyze from the first Alcep station built just 4 months ago. The scientists have just about concluded the moon is inert, dead. But Lovell, Swigert, and Hayes will try the most dangerous landing techniques ever attempted to continue America's exploration of the moon. Bob?
We had a problem with measles earlier this week. As I'm sure you all know, the measles hassle started last Monday with Charles Duke, a member of the backup crew. Duke came down with the measles, and since the prime crew worked so intimately with the backup crew, everybody got exposed. A series of extensive blood tests here at the Cape in Houston and at the National Institute of Health in Washington confirmed that Ken Mattingly, the command module pilot, had no antibodies to ward off the measles. He could come down at any time. So Mattingly was scratched from the mission, and that's where a civilian astronaut named Jack Swigert comes into the picture. Red?
Swigert is the eighth replacement astronaut to make a space flight. He's bigger, almost 6 feet, and heavier by 40 pounds than the now grounded Mattingly. Air Force trained and a crack test pilot, rookie civilian astronaut Swigert is still a bachelor at 38. One of his hobbies is photography. And like the 15th century Italian monk Fra Mauro, who mapped Mother Earth, Swigert's job is to map the moon with a massive new close-up camera. An announcement from Launch Control and Chuck Hollister.
Apollo Saturn Launch Control, T-minus 9 minutes, 58 seconds and counting. The third stage start tanks are now beginning their chill down. Third stage scheduled to ignite at 9 minutes, 22 seconds into the mission.
Now to Roy Neal in the launch firing room. To Roy Neal over in the launch control firing room.
I'm speaking now from firing room one, launch control. A big room, perhaps three times the size of mission control in Houston. It's a bright, well-lighted room filled with consoles painted in a light shade of gray. Walls are cream-colored, and there are windows to the rear, huge slanted windows through which people can see the launch pad 3.5 miles away. But most of the 500 people in this room won't watch that rocket. They'll be too busy following the launch from console positions, reading out data, looking at black and white television from the 85 camera positions that monitor every critical phase of the Apollo 13 operation. Houston concerns itself with the mechanics of space. Launch control concerns itself with the mechanics of space hardware, and very soon now they'll find out how well their preparations succeed. Roy Neal in launch control. Now to Snell at Mission Control, Houston.
Windler from his dual-role console here in Mission Control has just started pulling the wool. As he does, if all is well, the men at the surrounding consoles will push 9 buttons lighting 9 green bulbs on the director's console. That will mean, very simply, that from flight surgeon Dr. Willard Hawkins to rocket man Bill Brady through Steve Bales, who tracks the tracking gear, all is ready for the handoff from launch control at Cape Kennedy. An added starter here in Mission Control is Ken Mattingly, who had planned to spend this past hour on the launch pad. Astronaut Mattingly, with a big smile and no sign of measles at all, sat down next to capsule communicator Joe Kerwin, whose greeting was, "Sorry to see you here." David Snell, Mission Control, Houston.
And we can tell you that Mattingly will not be isolated until he breaks out in a measles rash. He is not considered a carrier yet. His blood still is being tested. Bob?
The VIP viewing area just out to our left is jammed with about 4,500 guests. Vice President Agnew, Chancellor Willy Brandt of West Germany, U.S. Secretary of State William Rogers head the list of distinguished guests. On the causeway, another 7,000 people are jammed into another NASA guest area. And for the local folks, the Floridians and the visitors down here, the Brevard County Sheriff's Office reports there are 100,000 people out along Route 1, which is the closest major highway to the Kennedy Space Center. And the Indian and Banana Rivers here are jammed with boats and people waiting for the launch. This is live coverage of the launch of Apollo 13. I'm Bob Walker with Merrill Muller at Launch Complex 39, Cape Kennedy.
6 minutes and 54 seconds and counting for the Apollo 13 launch. And here is Bob Walker.
The human problem reared its head early in this mission, and it was touch and go around here for the past several days, wondering if we were going to have a mission at all. Not only did we have a problem of measles, but the early weather reports from the Air Force here said we were going to have a possibility, a strong possibility, of bad weather on launch day. But we do not have bad weather on launch day. We have hazy skies. The mission is go. The countdown has proceeded almost letter perfect. The three astronauts say they're ready, and that rocket out there on the pad is ready.
These have been relatively quiet astronauts, Lovell, Swigert, and Hayes, checking out all the final status of Apollo 13, made up of the two spaceships, Odyssey, the command ship, and Aquarius, the moon lander. They have not done much talking except to report and confirm their various systems checks with Mission Control and with Launch Control here at Cape Kennedy. Mission Control, of course, is in Houston. We will be hearing the voices this morning of Joe Kerwin, another astronaut who is the CAPCOM, the capsule communicator from Houston to the spaceship, and we will be hearing the voices of the flight crew itself. We have another announcement coming up from Launch Control here at Cape Kennedy, and a new voice, Chuck Hollinshead.
This is Apollo Saturn Launch Control, T-minus 5 minutes, 27 seconds and counting. Now, as we move into the final phase of the countdown, we're receiving go-no-go checks from various elements of the launch team. The spacecraft test conductor, Skip Chauvin, gave the test supervisor a spacecraft ready. At that time, on our large status board here in the firing room, the green light came on behind the spacecraft. Green light now is also on behind the emergency detection system. Now, standing by for more checks, the mission director, Jet Li, from the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, says we are go for launch, and the range indicates the range is ready to support. Showdown of the S-4B stage. Showdown of the S-4B stage being completed at this time. S-4B will ignite into the mission at 9 minutes, 22 seconds. Swing arm number 9 now is retracting to the full retract position. Swing arm number 9 coming back to the full retract position. And the director of launch operations, Walt Caprian, has given Apollo 13 a go for launch. We're now approaching the 4-minute mark. At the T-minus 4-minute mark, we'll be standing by for Jack Baltar, the launch vehicle test conductor, to say that his launch vehicle team is ready to carry out the final phase here of the countdown. At the T-minus 3-minute, 7-second mark, we will get the ignition sequence start. This will put us on an automatic sequencer, and the remainder of the count from that time will be on automatic.
My colleague Bob Walker has gone to our operation tower outside
in the space vehicle. At the same time, the team here in the Launch Control Center will be monitoring red line values. These are such things as temperatures and pressures, which we do not want to either go above or below. A final communications check now. The astronauts on the Astrocom circuit and launch operations manager, Paul Donnelly, during his final check, said good luck, head for the hills.
As we come up on T-minus 3-minute mark at 3 minutes, the capsule communicator, Paul Weitz, will begin reading out the minus time to the crew. Looking up at our status board now, we can see that the first stage preparations are now complete. The firing command has now been initiated. This is the automatic sequencer, and we have a confirmation on our status board that the launch sequence has started. We're now in our final 3 minutes of the countdown, 2 minutes, 56 seconds, and Apollo 13 continues to be go. The astronauts still reporting back from the spacecraft Odyssey. Spacecraft Commander Jim Lovell says Odyssey is go. He will be the last one to perform a function here during the countdown at the T-minus 45-second mark. The Commander Jim Lovell will set the final alignment of the spacecraft guidance. That's the last crew action before the liftoff of Apollo 13. We continue to aim for a liftoff at 2:13 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now T-minus 2 minutes, 18 seconds and counting, and our count continues to look good. All weather is no constraint to launch today. Earlier fears about the weather seem to have dissipated. A stationary front over the Florida-Georgia border has not sent down the predicted bad weather that we had feared. We just passed the two-minute mark, in the countdown, and the pressurization now of the vehicle tanks is beginning. The third stage liquid oxygen tank has now been pressurized, and the second stage liquid oxygen tank has been pressurized. We'll be making our final transfer from external power source, that is from the external power source at the pad, to the launch vehicle batteries at the T-minus 50-second mark. We'll be keeping an eye on that power transfer at T-minus 50 seconds. The S-4B propellants now all pressurized. S-4B propellants, that's the third stage of the Saturn V, pressurized. 1 minute, 15 seconds, and counting. The spacecraft equipment now is on its own internal cooling. It's been sharing its cooling from getting its cooling from an external power source up to this time. We're now approaching the T-minus 1 minute mark. T-minus 1 minute, and counting. Now in the final minute of our countdown, at the 30-second mark, swing arm number one will retract. T-minus 50 seconds. As we pass the T-minus 50-second mark, the power transfer takes place. First stage, second stage, third stage, and the instrument unit going to internal power. T-minus 37 seconds, and our count continues to go well. We'll be looking for an ignition of those five first-stage engines at the T-minus 8.9-second mark. We've passed T-minus 30, T-minus 25 seconds, and counting, and Apollo 13 is go. T-minus 20 seconds, T-minus 20 seconds, and counting. 17, guidance release, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8. Ignition sequence has started. 6, 5, 4, 3, 1, 0. We have commit and we have liftoff at 2:13. The Saturn V building up to 7.6 million pounds of thrust, and it has cleared the tower.
This is Mission Control Houston. We appear to have a good first stage at this point. Trajectory looks good. We show a 1/2 mile in altitude at this time.
13 Houston, go at 30 seconds. Oh, complete and warp entry.
Roger that. Stand by for mode 1 Bravo.
Mark 1 Bravo.
1 Bravo, command.
Altitude 1.2 miles, velocity 1,500 feet per second.
We show the cabin relieving.
13,
and at 1 minute 10 seconds, we show an altitude of 4.1 nautical miles. Downrange, 1 mile. All sources continue to report where go. The trajectory on our plot boards is right on the pre-planned line. Engineer reports we're now through the region of maximum dynamic pressure and we're go. Now 17 miles coming up on staging.
Step forward.
reports the onboard engine has shut down as scheduled.
We confirm inboard out 13. You're looking good.
Coming up on 30 miles altitude.
Trajectory's good. Thrust is good.
Roger.
What's happened now is that the first stage has completed its work. The engine has shut down.
We're now 46 miles high, 70 miles, 78 miles downrange.
The first stage has dropped away and the second stage is turning.
Jettison. There goes the launch escape power.
Kurt Sepp, Roger. Tower jet, mode 2, Jim, looking good.
Mode 2.
Mode 2 is an abort situation system if it is needed in any emergency. There's none here. This is very smooth.
Launch radio
communications.
And level reports that the guidance system is correcting the small errors.
13 Houston, guidance is good, and the CMC is go.
Anything?
13, Major.
It was my first time to see a liftoff, Red. It was almost
coming up now in 4 minutes.
Beautiful.
We're now at an altitude of 63 miles.
And they're doing over 7,000 miles an hour right now. The next phase we need very shortly will be preparation.
At 4 minutes, 15 seconds, the trajectory
is in your go at 4 minutes. So little red lines are right on the little white lines down here.
Good. They are making preparations now for the final stage burn of the Saturn rocket, the S-4B, which will be burned.
Velocity up now to 11,000 feet per second. That's about 36% of the amount needed for a minimum orbit. We're now 75 miles in altitude.
And they are, of course, above the Earth's blanket of atmosphere, the heavier part of the atmosphere, and clawing for altitude. This climb out is
222 miles downrange now. The ECOM reports.
About 5 minutes, you're looking perfect, over.
13, Roger.
And our ECOM reports that the cabin pressure is sealed at 6.1 pounds, which is normal. We're now 250 miles downrange, altitude 81 nautical miles.
And approaching 7,500 miles an hour speed.
Should be at that about right now.
This climb out is at a very steep angle. The speed will begin to increase drastically after they get above 100 miles in altitude and prepare to launch the last stage of Saturn.
After the launch, we continue to look very good on the second stage. Jim Lovell just reported the inboard engine is shut down as scheduled.
This is preparation for the next stage. Both the first stage and second stage.
Houston, standby for S-4B to COI capability.
S-4B to COI, Roger.
Roger, you've got it now, Jim.
We've got S-4B to COI.
Booster reports that the inboard engine shutdown was a bit early. We're continuing to burn on the four outboard engines,
13.
This S-4B to COI. S-4B to COI means they may need a little more power out of the S-4B, a little longer burn to get a circular orbit.
Jim, Houston, we don't have a story on why the inboard out was early, but the other engines are go and you're go.
Everything fine. One engine was the, both the first and second stages of the Saturn rocket cut out the center engines first and then the outboard four engines. Both of them have five engines. But one engine cut out early on the second stage, and they'll need a little more boost, a little more time from the third stage engine.
At 6 minutes, 40 seconds.
This is still looking good. Your gimbals are good. Trim is good.
For the orbit they want. If I read it, we're 6 minutes and 30 seconds past that in the flight, and we're above 112 miles altitude.
13 Houston, level sense arm time 8 plus 3, 8 nominal. S2 cutoff time 9R plus 4, 8. Over.
We're about 10,000 miles an hour.
4, 8 on the S2 cutoff.
That's affirmative, and standby for S4B to orbit. Mark, you have S4B to orbit, Jim.
Roger, we have S4B to orbit.
They will get a little more burn out of the S-4B. It isn't going to take much. They wanted 125 miles.
We still have four good engines on the Saturn second stage. We show an altitude of 96 nautical miles, 545 downrange.
They wanted 125 miles orbital altitude, and they're already at 114 miles. The Houston Mission Control...
At 7 minutes, 45 seconds. Booster reports we are go. All four engines remaining looking good.
Houston Control is using nautical miles, a slightly smaller number for the same height in statute miles, which we are using. No problem aboard.
The early shutdown of the center engine would cause no problem. We would run a little bit longer than normally scheduled.
Houston looking good at 8 minutes.
118 miles altitude, 12,167 miles an hour. Earth orbit is achieved. They could stop it right here if they wanted to, but they want to get up.
And at 8 minutes, 17 seconds, we show a velocity of 18,000 feet per second. That's about 71% of the amount needed for a minimal orbit.
And the reason they want to get up there is the S-4B is going to push them out toward the moon and then push itself out toward the moon with two different sets of engines.
8 minutes, 35 seconds, continuing to burn on the second stage. All four remaining engines looking good at this point.
They're still on the second stage, as Doug Ward has
Apollo
just
13,
said.
Houston, mark level sensor.
Mark level sensor, Roger.
The second stage has about another minute and 21 seconds to burn on the four engines.
Apollo 13, Houston, at 9 minutes, your go. The CMC is go.
Okay, Joe. 13, Roger.
And Apollo 13 is traveling at over 14,000 miles an hour right now.
Our predicted shutdown time on the second stage is 9 minutes, 48 seconds. Flight Director Milton Windler getting a staging status now from his flight controllers.
13, Houston, you are go for staging.
That's a change.
13, Roger, go for staging.
They've added a longer burn to the second stage, an extra 20 seconds of power from the four engines remaining on the second stage. This will conserve fuel in the S-4B in case they want it later.
13, Houston, standby for mode 4 capability.
Mode
Mark,
4.
You have mode 4, Jim.
Mode 4, again, another abort situation.
Staging.
They're staging right now.
And level report staging.
That's early.
And there's 4 ignition, Houston.
Roger that, Jim. Thrust looks good.
Roger.
That also came slightly early, but the thrust is fine on the third stage of the Saturn rocket, the S-4B. Everything is going according to plan,
Houston,
despite the loss of one major engine.
Guidance, CMC, or I'll go.
Thank you, Joe.
About 15,500 miles an hour.
30 seconds. We are now 102 miles in altitude, 1,080 miles downrange.
And that's 124 miles. And 15,980 miles an hour, and now they will really begin to pick up speed. They'll pick up another 2,000 miles an hour in only 2 minutes as compared to the climb out.
And that climb out was mighty slow, but beautiful.
This is where they're leveling off. They're reaching orbital altitude that they want. They are only a mile or two short of their original target, and they'll probably get that. They are leveling off in space, in other words.
13, they're... Houston, at 11 minutes, your go. Predicted cutoff on the S-4B is 12 plus 3-4, over.
That is an much longer burn.
About 39 seconds longer.
Just about right, Bob. Good thinking. That is a much longer burn on the S-4B, and that's to get them the speed they need just to maintain orbit. But they are in orbit, 125 miles
13,
up.
Houston, your go at 11 and a half, and predicted cutoff time is 12 plus 3-4, over.
Understand, 12 plus 3-4, predicted cutoff time.
That's a front.
Confirmation from Lovell there. They're 124 miles up, southeast of Bermuda, approaching the communication ship Vanguard. In the middle of Atlantic.
12 minutes, still looking good.
And now it's a question of the speed they want. They're looking for 17,403 miles an hour for the orbital speed while they make preparations to kick off toward the moon from over a Australia. We're spending
right now
2 hours.
Crew report a third stage shutdown.
About 10 seconds for that report.
Seco.
There's the copy,
Seco, Jim. We're looking at the disky.
And that was just about on the predicted time, the corrected predicted time of 12:34 flight time.
Now for the figures coming back.
And the flight dynamics officer says at first glance we look good on the orbit.
We'll get there final.
It all looks good. And that's the situation with the moments after liftoff in our coverage of the flight of Apollo 13 from ABC Radio News. I'm Bob Walker with Merrill Muller at Launch Complex 39, Cape Kennedy. We've had a beautiful liftoff.
Sure is safe. Thank you, Joe.
That's Jim Lovell confirming the word from the ground from Joe Kerwin, another astronaut, who just said don't mention it because he passed the word that the S-4B, although burned over time, is safe for continued operations. They're in orbit. They can make their preparations to go on to the moon, which takes place, the launching toward the moon takes place a revolution and a half from now over Australia. Bob?
President Nixon, who's an old Navy man himself, like Jim Lovell, the commander, decided to go out aboard a Navy yacht today and watch the liftoff of Apollo 13. He was accompanied by his friend from Key Biscayne, Bebe Rebozo. The president went to Mount Vernon, historic Mount Vernon, to watch
it. The booster engineer reports at this time that the S-4B third stage looks good, being configured now for orbital operations. We're standing by for confirmation from the flight dynamics officer of our preliminary orbit.
And they are approaching the Canary Islands in the eastern Atlantic at about 125 miles up and about 17,403 miles an hour. We'll have the exact figures, we hope, in a minute. As the flight dynamics officer, as Doug Ward just said, the flight dynamics officer has a computer to figure them out, and he'll report as soon as he has them.
Let me replace the president. He was in, went to Mount Vernon, New York, and then out aboard a yacht, the Sequoia, cruising and watching the launch liftoff on television. And the president now will be going over to Camp David, his mountain retreat in the Maryland Mountains.
And, of course, as we said earlier, Vice President Agnew with West German Chancellor Willy Brandt was here with Secretary of State Rogers to watch this launching, this beautiful launching of Apollo 13.
Houston, your preliminary orbit down here is 102.5 times 100.3, and everything is looking good.
Roger, Houston, and it looks good to be up here again.
That's the old veteran.
Yeah, and this is his last space flight, a man who already has 500 and some odd hours in space and will, by the end of this space flight, have spent a month of his life above the Earth.
Nobody else can say that. Gemini 7, Gemini 12, Apollo 8, and now Apollo 13. That's a long way to go. We've had a beautiful liftoff, a beautiful launch. Apollo 13 is in Earth orbit now. We're still hearing air ground.
Okay, it's plus decimal 26, over.
And we've had a beautiful liftoff. The weather held good. The German measles were no problem. That young rookie in the bird seat there, in the center seat, Jack Swigert, doing fine. And the whole mission so far has been letter perfect. And in 4 days from now, America goes to the moon for the third time. Apollo 13 is safely in Earth orbit. About 2.25 hours from now, Apollo 13 is scheduled to fire the big S-4B engine to head for the moon and a planned landing 4 days from now. I'm Bob Walker with Merrill Muller at Cape Kennedy. And this has been a live special report from ABC Radio News.